Blog Talk Radio.
What's up out there, radio world? This is the Chaos Talk Show with your host, the one and only Derek Oliver.
It's chaos time, and my time is shining. Say what I want to say. If you don't like it, then I'm going to say it anyway. I bring in the real.
When you go to church, you go to church. When you feel like that's
yeah,
who
man.
You want to be, that's
yeah,
who you
know.
Be. So it's
yeah.
I don't see where you're coming from when you're saying what I should know.
Got me heated.
All right. Hello? Thank you all for listening, and thank you for calling in, and welcome back to Freestyle Fridays. I am Tim the Overseer, and my co-host, Big Tate Entertainment, is here with us tonight, and we're about to get into a little conversation tonight about the kneeling. That's in the just touching on a little bit of the protest tonight. So we'd like to go ahead and get started with that conversation. We'd like to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. Thank you for your time. We thank you for your Friday evenings and afternoon. Hopefully, you all had a blessed and wonderful week. I've had a pretty blessed week this week, so nothing to complain about. I'm grateful. And I can say that there are some things that I've been blessed to just be blessed with this week. So, again, thank you all for tuning in. We'd like to give a shout-out and thank you to Derek Oliver and Chaos Talk Radio team for blessing us with this platform and opportunities. And we thank the Most High for taking us to new heights and just being such a blessing. We want to definitely be a blessing back to the community. And we just want to thank you all for listening in. So tonight we're going to be talking about kneeling. Big Tate, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
All right, brother.
You know,
okay,
man.
Okay. All right, so without further ado, brother, let's go ahead and get in. We're only a few minutes in. Let's go ahead and jump in. I know that you said you want
all
to
right,
talk
well.
About the kneeling, but right before we get into that, I just want to say we thank you all for listening once again, but do chime in tomorrow night. I will be on the air with Spiritual Sense Life. I will be on the air tomorrow night at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Pacific time is 4 p.m. And I will also be a special guest on Derek Oliver's Bible Break on Monday. That's going to be 7 p.m. East Coast time, 6 p.m. Central Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we'll kind of get into some more things later. But without further ado, brother, go ahead.
All right. Well, hey, I got to get something off my chest real quick because, you know, I'm a little heated.
What's going on?
Yeah, I'm a little heated, you know, because, man, you know, we have some African-Americans, man, you know, that don't understand the cause, you know, because – some African Americans, and you know, with some white people, think that you know this is utopia. You know what I'm saying? And everything is peachy, and that's not what it is. You know, I don't think really people understand what really is transpiring. You know, and what I mean by that, they don't know really what the march is for, why people are protesting. You know what I'm saying? And I had to entertain foolishness from white people. I have to entertain foolishness from my own people, black people, over this. And I'm sitting here like, why you don't get it? Why you don't get it? You know? And basically, not to rant on, but the conversation was why we protesting and all lives do matter and all police officers are bad. Woo! I get all that. I get all of that, and that's so
right.
True. But that's not the issue. The issue is that we get no justice. The issue is
right.
That when I get pulled over, I may not go home. You know what I'm saying? The issue is that whenever I get pulled over, I'm already prejudged. The issue is I don't get a fair handshake, bottom line. You know what I'm saying? Like I was telling
right.
You, look. A white boy can walk in the store and master everybody. We had one to go into the church. went to church with these people a few days out of the week, and came back, killed everybody. Then they took him to Mac, took him to Burger King to get, because he was hungry. We don't get that. You know what I'm saying? And basically, you know, the problem is that we pretty much let, I mean, I ain't going to say we, but I'm just saying what happens is that we upset as a people because these officers get off. They get to go home with pay, and then when it goes to a trial, they never get any time. They don't get any time, and it was justified. That's the reason why we're marching. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
For that reason there. It's not saying all police officers are bad. We're not saying that. You know what I'm saying? We're not saying that all white people are bad. We're not saying that. But guess what? Those that are don't get their just due. And that is what we're upset about. You know what I'm saying? So I'm tired of entertaining all of this, all lives matter, and all people ain't bad. I never said that they were. And all we doing is looting. Wait a minute. First of all, you got to understand that, you know, this not just us looting. It's people that's setting up, you know, to make the protesters look bad. They did that in the 1960s. You know what I'm saying? You got to check your history on that. You know what I'm saying? So you got to, you know, when you come to me with this type of foolishness, you got to be ready because I'm ready. I'm always cocked and loaded. So therefore, and I ain't talking about weaponry. I'm just talking about when it comes to all this information. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you gotta have some type of common sense, you know, on why it is what it is, why we protesting. Go do your research. Go do your research and then understand the struggle. You know what I'm saying? Just don't take one side, you know, like I got really heated because, you know, the individual was saying, well, you know, George should never went in with a fake $20.
Wow.
First of all, we don't know if this man knew that it was fake. Okay? We don't know that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We don't know he was fake. And then from my understanding, he didn't walk out the store with anything. So no harm, no foul. And even if he did, his life still wasn't supposed to be taken. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just, man, like I said, I'm just tired of putting up this foolishness. If you're going to come with me, I mean, come at me, I'm going to bring some smoke for you. You know what I'm saying? Because my thing is, you know, you need to know exactly why we're doing what we're doing. You know, and the thing about it is, stop listening to a TV. TV, you know what I'm saying, ain't doing nothing but just railroading you to information that is not correct. You know what I'm saying? Like right now, they're trying to tear this man, George, apart because of his criminal background. Who cares? It still didn't mean that his life was supposed to be taken. You know what I'm saying? And so basically, that's not even the point. The point of it is that this man's life was taken. You know, and we're tired of our lives being taken. You know what I'm saying? We can't stop in the middle of the road like old boy in Oklahoma trying to flag down some help. You know, the guy in the chopper talking about, ooh, he looks like he's a bad one. Okay, they got that man life taken. And he just needed help on the highway. You know what I'm saying? Wow. I'm tired of your brake light out. You know what I'm saying? And then you try to do the right thing. Hey, officer, you know what? I'm concealed. I got a concealed license to carry. You know what I'm saying? My gun is in my glove compartment. And then you just go to commencing to just shooting, and you kill me in front of my daughter and my wife. What type of crap is that? You know, I'm just saying. You know, it's just. I'm just tired of all this. Why people don't get it? Why people just don't get it? You know what I'm saying? But anyway. I just had to get that off my chest, man, because I just saying that for like the last 30 minutes trying to make them understand, man. And, you know, but, hey, I also want to just put this out there to everybody. Listen, you can also email me at bigtate93@gmail.com if you have questions, concerns, or even if you have your own opinion that you want to talk to me about, or if you don't agree with something that I say, you know, I won't take it offense or whatever, but I'm always open to listen to what others have to say because I don't know it all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But what I try to do is at least
Definitely.
Know my history, don't get my research before I come talk to you. But I just had to entertain that for like the last hour, Overseer. And, man, I'm sitting here like, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, I got a radio show to go to, and you done heated me up. You know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, I'm done with that. But anyway, now, kneeling. Now, we going to come to kneeling. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know,
well,
my question
I just want to interject.
Is,
Go ahead.
No, you want to interject. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to just kind of just interject on some of the things that you were saying. Good points. I see what you're saying. I definitely agree with you for the most part. I think there's a I know that there's a divide, meaning that it doesn't matter if it's, you know, black, white, and I don't really use black and white because to me, to say black and white is more racist than anything. I don't really like to use that. I always say melanated and non-melanated. But for the most part, there's a divide. There's a divide with the melanated people. There's a divide with the non-melanated people because I will say this. What I was happy to see, because, you know, I watch social media, even, you know, just within the cities, people are protesting. That shows that people care. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to waste your time to come to our community and march with us and protest mm-hmm. with us if you didn't care. That's the way I see it. I must say I was happy to see that because that shows, okay, somebody does care. You know, it's not just us. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I was happy to see that. And it was something that's on social media that I saw that I'll kind of discuss in a minute. I think something about some police officers were washing the feet of some ministers and stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of people agreed and some people didn't agree, you know. But we'll get into that just a little bit later. But I just wanted to kind of piggyback off of what you were saying that, you know, there's a divide. And it makes you wonder. You know, and I feel you. You know, because the things that we go through every day in our everyday lives, you know, especially if you're out in public, you know, how you being judged, mm-hmm. or if you get stopped, you know, are you safe? Is this cop is he cool? Is he okay? You know, is he gonna be someone that's looking for something? You know, to make something out of nothing. I definitely understand.
Right.
And you know, like I shared with this one individual, I told him, I said, you know, the things that I deal with on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
you'll never experience, at least I don't believe you'll ever experience it, but you probably not won't ever experience it. But we go through so much on a daily basis. Every day I go to work, every day I walk out my door, if I go somewhere, you know, we have to deal with certain things about how people treat us. And again, it's a divide within our community that, like what you said, you know, it makes you wonder when you say, you know, they don't agree with the protests, or maybe they feel like the protesting is too much. I was actually shocked to see it still going on. I mean, I like it because, you know, I can be out driving. I see people with their signs, you know, protesting.
Yeah.
And I say, okay, people care. Okay, that's a good people are. And not only that, you got some officers that are joining in that are you know, they're making videos on social media saying that this was totally wrong. And it was. I'm happy to see that. That makes me feel better as an individual. Say, okay, it's not just me. It's not just us.
Yeah.
You know, irregardless, we got some people in our community and our own community that don't agree with the protest. They don't agree with what's happening. And like you said, they want to pull up this man's history. That has nothing to do with a current situation. You said it. You know, somebody has told you that he shouldn't have had a fake dollar bill. I think me and my brother was talking about that last week. You know, here's the thing. I don't know if it was a fake dollar. I don't know what it was. I think that was the thing.
They don't know what it was. They talk about 20. Some saying $20. Some saying $10.
Right.
You know, I'm like, it's crazy.
And so, exactly. And so here's the thing. Like you say, did we evaluate that situation, you know, professionally? You know, did we say, okay, was due diligence done? Was it his? How do we know it was his? And not so much that, again, we shouldn't judge a person right there on the spot and determine a person's life. You just shouldn't. You know, if that wasn't a dangerous situation to where he was getting violent, he should still be alive. I mean, let the judge take care of that. That's what the judge is for. That's what the process is for. The process is there for you to do your part. I remember there used to be a day and time when officers, when they used to write you a ticket or if they need to take you in, they would say, hey, well, that's for the judge to decide. That was it. That was the end of it. It wasn't all of a sudden you on the ground and all of a sudden you being choked out of your life. You know, you're about to die. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the situation. There used to be a time they say, you know what? Hey, you know, that's for the judge. Here's your ticket. You know, that's it. You know, if it was a situation where it was a misdemeanor, even if it was a felony, hey, let's handcuff him. Let's take him in. And let's go through the process. Let the court system, let the attorneys, let them handle that. And so now it's gotten to the point to where that's not the case. You know, and the process is not what it used to be. And so I know some people, like you say, some people may agree with that. Some people may not. Some people say, well, let them do their job. Well, was that really their job to take that person's life? See, that's the question. And so, you know, but we're going to come back. I want you to go ahead and finish your point, but I just want to just kind of interject that. But that, I thought that was, you know, I feel the exact same way. And I just want to say this real quick, and then I'll turn it back over to you and let you finish your point. I remember hearing this lady say, you know, that she had experienced racism. Now, she was a melanated woman. And so I'm sitting there thinking about herself. And she was saying since she's been, I guess, I don't know, in her adult life, she just hasn't experienced. I'm just thinking to myself, is that even possible? And I'm not saying that it's, I'm not saying that it's not, but it's just like you'd have to be in a city that's predominantly more black people or melanated people in a very small popular town to not experience that. I'm like, how do you live in a city or a place that where you're outnumbered and you don't experience racism? I'm just trying to figure out how is that even possible. I believe each and every one of us as melanated people in our adult lives, especially, and I'm not talking about if you're just 18 or 19 years old, maybe that's possible. I only say how that's even possible because I experienced racism in school. So how can you say in your adult life, if you're 30 or 40 years old, that you've never experienced racism? That just makes me question, because I think what it is some people are just passive. People allow things to happen, and they think it's okay that it's happening.
Exactly.
You know, I'm trying to recall this conversation. You know, maybe we were talking about this last week when we were talking about, you know, people cracking jokes. You know, you can't get so comfortable with me that you're going to be able to crack a joke with me, a black joke. I don't do black jokes. We're not doing that. We're not going to get into the racial jokes. I just don't do that. I don't play like that. And so, but I understand that there are people out there that will allow something, just like we talked about last week with the N-word. There are people who will allow that. So I think that's where the issue lies, is that where you have people in our community, when something like this happens, they don't see nothing wrong with it. And I'm not laughing at the situation. I'm just laughing at in disbelief. Like, how is that possible that you don't see anything wrong with this? This could have been your brother, your dad, your son, you know, your relative. And you didn't see anything wrong. So what you're saying is if this touched home and this was your relative, see, it's easier to put that out there when this is not close to home. And I'm not wishing nothing on anyone, but I'm just saying we got to get out of, if someone slaps you, that's okay. I don't know about that. You know, we're not talking about the turn of the cheek. We're not even talking about that. We're just talking about just somebody just coming up, you know, and just disrespecting you in a way that just makes absolutely no sense for you to take, you know. And there are times to where you do need to turn away, but is this something that's a habit? You know, I can't see that. It doesn't make any sense what this lady had told me when she said in her adult life she just hadn't experienced racism as a melanated woman. Right. I'm just thinking about, I mean, that just froze me. I'm like, really? I'm trying to fathom. Yeah, I'm trying to find out, is that even a thing? Is that even possible to where, you know, I don't know. I understand as men, we definitely get it more than anybody else on the face of the planet. as the melanated man, okay? You know,
right.
And so it just makes me wonder when she said that, you know, I just didn't get that. You know, that's something I didn't get coming from her.
Yeah. You know, something that she just didn't want to acknowledge that it was happening. You know,
and that's the way I
but
see
yeah,
it.
I mean, that's interesting. Definitely interesting. Man, that's interesting. You know, but you know, but I mean, man, I heard people say that too, and I'm like, I just don't see it, you know. But hey, maybe in their world, man, you know, that it isn't, you know, racism. You know what I'm saying? But it is no, and then it is what it is, you know. So, but yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm just saying. So, but yeah, DJ, I mean, man, that's just something new to me that somebody would say that they never experienced racism before.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know how to answer that. I'm fumbling over words because I'm like, you never experienced. But maybe, but who are we to say that they haven't? You know, I mean, everybody have their own experiences, you know, but
right.
At the same time, you know, everybody's
well,
entitled to what they feel and what they believe, you know?
Well, I will say this, and you're right,
uh-huh.
You know, everyone's entitled to what they believe, but I will say this, you know, if a person says that they hadn't experienced it, I'll say this in return. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, because,
right.
You know, again,
right.
You know, I just believe that people are passive, and, you know, the person that said that, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm this person has been around when situations, you know, like that have went down. And I know for a fact that, you know, okay, I'm just thinking in the back of my mind, okay, so you're saying that you're just more a passive person, that when you see something, you're just the type of person that act like, that's not what it was. And that's,
yeah.
That's fine. If you're a person that's in denial, that's just what I thought. You know, if a person said that they never experienced it, hey, if you're in denial, you know, to you,
right.
If it wasn't racism, that's cool. You know, to me,
right.
that's what it was, because obviously it exists. We can see it from the past all the way to the present that it exists.
Exactly. I mean, you know, but I mean, at the same time, well, this is what I want to say. I remember my dad saying that once to me before. And I'm like, how in the world can you say that when you work at a club that just totally, you know, racist, you know? And but he always used to say, well, I just never, you know, as a kid, I never experienced. Well, put like,
really?
He said, as coming
no
up as a kid,
say, really?
He never, as coming up as a kid, he never experienced racism. That's what it was. I apologize. Because what I was going to say was, I was like, I know that's a lie, because I've been with you when, you know, the white person would say, he would drop the N-word. And, you know, it used to just burn me alive, you know what I'm saying, you know, to hear it. And
right.
But I remember now, he was talking about when he was a kid, he never experienced it coming up until he was an adult and he moved here, you know. But at the same time, you know, I experienced it, you know, at a very early age. With my dad, you know, when, you know, we used to go mow yards and so basically the guy that we used to mow his yard, he's always referred to us as the N-words.
Really?
And boy, I used to be so hot. Woo, I used to be so hot. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, maybe that's why I'm bitter right today. But at the same time, you know, I remember these things vividly. You know what I'm saying? And so
right.
I get it, you know, that my dad probably never checked him because, you know, he had to provide a roof over our heads. But he
right.
always told me, too, that a lot of those guys that were racist, he has changed their views of black people. So he was
right.
always constantly trying to help change the views of black people by working with them and showing them, you know, the way or whatnot. But however, yes, at the age 8 years old, mowing yards, you know, I used to hear that word. And that used to just burn me up, man. I used to be, and I, now mind you.
That's amazing.
And it's crazy. At that age, I didn't know, you know, why would I get upset over that word when I really didn't know what that word was? So,
right.
And it's amazing how I would get upset when I heard him say it, but it was natural when I heard us say it. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know between the times that I realized that that word was negative. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I didn't realize, and I didn't realize that word was just so negative. And but however, it used to heat me up really good. You know, when I was a boy. And but however, that brings us up on today on, and you know, it just you know, infuriates me, man, when I run across incidents like that, you know. But I can't, it's hard for me to believe somebody has never experienced it, because I'm like, if you never experienced it in your you know, when you were a kid, surely you have when you became an adult.
As an adult,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. However, you know, if you haven't, then you haven't. I mean, I can't tell you that you have, Tim. I mean, you know, I just can't. So,
right.
I, you know, if you tell me you haven't, I'm just have to believe you, right? But
right.
in the back of my mind, I'm like, I don't know if this person knows what they're talking about. But however,
exactly.
You know, it is what it is. It is what it is, you know, but at the same time, man, you know, I try not to use it. And when I do use it, man, I feel like I curse, you know what I'm saying? And so I try not to use that word because it's not a good word to use, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I feel like it keeps you somewhat in a mental bondage.
Right, exactly.
And so I just try not to use that word at all, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. Yeah, that kind of got me mind boggled a little bit. I never known somebody that never experienced it. But hey,
so
you know what I'm saying? It could be true.
Right. So let me ask you: is it that some people just like certain things don't bother certain people? Do you think that's what it is? Like because
I believe
she
that's
said
exactly
that.
What it is.
That's the only thing that I could
that's
think
exactly
of that day when she said. I mean, because I was like, you know, I never heard no one melanated say that. I've never heard nobody melanated say in their adult life they've never experienced racism. That was just,
well,
it was kind of funny to me, but also strange. I'm like, is that possible? Is that a thing? You know, what are you doing to escape this, to escape this,
exactly.
This, you know, from this thing from happening to you, what are you doing? Because I understand that, you know, like some of our women, like I use corporate America because I've been in corporate America for so many years. I use corporate America,
yeah.
For example. You know, there are just things that our women just wouldn't go through, you know. They just wouldn't. But the things that we would go through, you know. And so I just wonder, you know, was it something, you know, how was she, but outside of work, how would you escape that? okay, it's just going out in public to public places, because the only thing that I could think of is that, okay, she just has to be a passive person. She's just a person that when certain things happen, she's like, oh, you know, she's just okay with it. You know what I'm saying? But if someone used the N-word towards you at that point, and I'm not saying that she probably was never, that word probably was never used towards her. That could be a possibility, I guess. You know, like I say, maybe it's different for our women than it is for the men. You know, but as a man, it's like, and you're even as a kid growing up, you know, even more so, you know, people would try to use that word towards you. A little less when you get into adult life. You know, I know that in our time when we were coming up, you know, a grown man was just less likely. I'm talking about to your face, was just less likely, especially if no one's around, was just less likely to disrespect you in that manner. You know, so of course over the phone, you know, working in corporate America, I've heard it, you know, being used. And, you know, I've heard some of my women say that it's been used towards them. And so I'm just thinking when she said that, I was like, okay, you know, how is that even possible that you just never experienced racism in your adult life? And I mean, that day is just, and even, you know, it kind of came up a few more times throughout the week. I'm just like, that just can't be possible. The only thing I can think of is that this individual was just, and she was just being very passive to her experience in racism. That's the only thing that I could think of.
Exactly. I totally agree. I mean, like I say, it's totally different, man. I mean, you remember last week our conversation about some black people that, you know, other nationalities call them the N-word.
The N-word.
Well,
that's what you have to think of.
That's being racist to me. If you say it to me.
Exactly.
So, but if a person says, oh, you're not being racist, that's just how we address each other. Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Well, whatever. You know, but yeah, man, that's crazy for one. But for two, you know, I just have never heard that. You know what I'm saying? But however, man, you know, God bless her soul. You know, if that's how she, you know, maybe is utopia for her. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And hey. You know, you call me anywhere, but you didn't mean it. You didn't mean it like they say it. So you okay? Nah, that ain't cool. That ain't cool.
I can't see myself being okay with that. And what I believe is that it's probably how some people also are raised. You know, again, my dad came from the South. I'm talking the Deep South. You know, we're in Texas, but he was from Louisiana. And it seemed like the further you go back towards, like, the states like Mississippi, Alabama, you know, some of those states like that, kind of gets a little more rough. And I know for a fact it was, especially back then, because my dad used to share some story. He used to say, Mississippi and Alabama, he said, you thought Louisiana was bad. He said, no, you didn't want to go to Mississippi and Alabama and Arkansas. He said, those three states? He said, oh, no. He said, you know, she said some of the things that they used to witness and deal with coming up, you know, it was just too much. And, you know, my dad made us very aware of racism, you know, and who to deal with and how to deal with it, you know, growing up. And I can tell you right now, you know, I use the system to maneuver through it. You know, if I see it in the workplace, it's hey, you know, I'm going to a higher authority. And that's how you take care of it. You don't address it right there on your own because, you know, you don't want that to backfire. And so, hey, if I feel something out of line, hey, you know, I know who to go to. And so a lot of times we just have to be smart and just know how to maneuver as much as we can in the society. And so, but what I also want to discuss was, I brought up earlier was just some videos I had watched. There was one about, because I know that you want to talk about the kneeling, and you know, some people was protesting to how some of these police officers were washing the feet of these ministers. I think it was in North Carolina. I can't remember exactly where it was, and I saw that.
I just said publicity stunt.
You think so? You know, I didn't know how to feel about that. You know. I didn't, you know, I was like, kind of had like, okay, what does this symbolize? You know, is this a good thing? You know, because here's the thing, you know, when we see things, like we see the protests, we see a lot of people around the world. Like my brother, we talked, he said, oh, man, he said over in Korea, he said that they was highly upset. They was protesting and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is a good thing, right? This has got to be good, right? But it just makes you wonder. And the fact that it's continuing to go on is a good thing, because I don't believe that people would really waste their time, you know, because that's what it would be if you didn't care, you know, if it's for, you know, just because you're bored or just to do something. And I don't believe this is what this is. I mean, I'm looking at social media. I'm like, I mean, all over, you know, the country, you know, there's all over the world, actually, they are marching and they are protesting. And I think this is a good thing. So hopefully, and also they had talked about them making, like, I guess, new guidelines or policies for police officers. Hopefully this thing works. I think it's in New York is where they're talking about starting this. I guess eventually the rest of the country will follow suit. So hopefully, you know, these things will make a change. Hopefully, that's all that we can do is pray and believe that this thing is going to get better. Because, you know, as I tell you, in the last probably, I guess, say little between 15 to 20 years. When this thing, because, you know, social media began to get popular between 2003 and 2005, you know, people were more online, and you begin to see stuff pick up, and there's, you know, you begin to hear about police brutality, and I'm like, this, and like, what's going on? You know, this is unusual, because, you know, we just didn't hear about it that much. You hear about altercations, you know, if a person's cutting up, but not in a situation to where a person is just like, okay, this person is what we would consider a model citizen. You know, this person goes to work, you know. I don't know if you remember, but this happened back in Atlanta, I think like around 2002 to 2003. I knew exactly what happened when they stopped the brother, but all we know is that they stopped him. He was with his wife and his kid, and he ended up shot. And people just couldn't believe it.
Are you talking about Castillo? Like,
who? No, this happened a long time. No, it's a long time. It was like way back in the early 2000s. Yeah, but for the most part, you know, in our mind, we think, well, this shouldn't happen to someone who goes to work every day or owns their own business. If it's just a routine stop, this person should go home with their wife and kids, right? That's the way it should be. You know, it shouldn't be. It should be just like it is for us, like it is for everyone else. And that's all I'm saying. That's all I believe we're all saying is that, hey, you know, it should be the same for everybody. It shouldn't be because you don't see anybody else. You know, people like to say, well, this happens everywhere. And I know you shared with me earlier this week how some of you were going back and forth online with this older gentleman. You know, you're going to have people like that, man. You're going to have people who are just, their hearts are hardened. And they are just the way they are. You know, it's kind of like, you know, my dad used to talk about, you know, how people would change as the years pass, you know, from way back when he was a boy in the early 1900s up until, you know, now how people change. But you got some of those people who are just, they old dirty South. They're just old Southerns, old South people. And they see how they hate. They're just not going to change. They're going to be that way till the day they die. You know, they're not going to change. And no matter what you do, no matter how much society changes, and I know we mentioned this last week, how there's a lot of interracial marriages, a lot of interracial relationships, and we see a lot of mixed breed and half breed kids now. And you know, we talked about how, you know, how you'll be out in public somewhere, and you'll see a grand. You know, me and my brother, we talked about that, and he was laughing about you'll see a grandfather, you know, and his grandchild is mixed, and it's like, you know what. Well, You wonder, you know, how does this person carry on? You know, because I remember back in the 90s and the 80s, this was popular for people to say, you know, hey, they would disown their daughters or their sons if they dated, you know, a black person, or after a race, they would disown their children.
Right.
Well, you know, how do you feel about that when your grandkids, this is part of you now. This is you. This is your children. This is your seed now. And so, so what, you're going to hate them now? You can't hate them. That doesn't make any sense. So Right. It just makes you wonder, you know, are people trying to wake up to what's going on? Because the world is changing before our eyes, you know.
The world is changing, TJ. The world is changing. I just want to put this out there for everybody. I do have my email up. If you want to chime in on what me and the overseer is saying, I do have my email up. You're more than welcome to email me. Or if you have a question about what we're talking about, you're more than welcome to email me. But TJ, you know me, I'm a conspiracy theorist. So I'm always looking like I see it, but I'm seeing through it. Because you're right. I remember going to First Cafeteria in Lubbock, Texas. And you can see the look, like, you know, they had that stank look, like, you know what I'm saying? When you know, the little white people be in furs and you come in with your family, they just had that stink look on their face like, why y'all coming here? But now, the grandmamas that are 50 and 60, you know what I'm saying? And it kills me, right? I just laugh, you know, because it's so funny. Because they hair be just snow white, you know what I'm saying? Because they all, and then all of a sudden, they come in with this chocolatey baby. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What in the world is going on?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just, I don't even know how to receive it. Because how we came up, the looks that we used to get versus what's going on now. But, however,
right.
I always look at it as, because now my son, my daughter, you know, is mixed breed. I don't want nothing to happen to them. So I feel your pain. Then I also look at, you know, the part, and this just really, really reaching, really, really reaching. But, you know, I see a lot of, you know, I can tell the overseer don't like me to say white people. So let me find a better word.
No. I mean, that's just my
But I'm
thing.
Just saying.
No, you're fine.
I'm just messing with you having fun. But I'm just saying that, you know, see a lot of white people that are adopting, you know, people of color. Now, in my mind,
right.
I think, and like I said, I could be wrong, and if I am, I'm good. I can be wrong. I don't mind being wrong. To me, I'm looking at it as a cash cow. Like, man, this little boy going to probably be a running back, or he going to play for the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, this little boy going to probably play for the Mavericks, you know what I'm saying? I'm raising a cash cow to make us some money. That, you know, I'm just saying.
I could be wrong. I hope.
Like almost treating us like a pet, you know what I'm saying? Like you got a pit bull, and those of you that are dog breeders, you understand what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? When you got a pit bull with a good bloodline, you know what I'm saying? You can make money off of them. It's almost like, you know, slavery almost, you know. But, I mean, like I said, I know I'm really reaching. But to me, the way that I think is like, you know, why would you want, you know, it's all kinds of babies that want homes. You know what I'm saying? You know, but you don't go get the same color baby or even a brown baby. I'm just saying, you know, you just go get the baby that kind of look like, you know, hey, he may have a future with the Dallas Cowboys, you know what I'm saying, or with the Mavericks, you know what I'm saying, but I'm just.
Boy, you something else.
I know I'm reaching out there, y'all, but I'm just saying, that's just the way I think, you know what I'm saying, so. But however, we just having fun tonight on Wednesday night. I mean on a Friday night, we just having fun. But I mean,
Freestyle
you can't
Friday,
tell me that
right?
It never crossed your mind. Freestyle Friday, you know what I'm saying?
No,
you can't tell me it never crossed your mind. When you see, you know, a lady that looked like George, that looked like George Bush's wife, you know what I'm saying, with an Erykah Badu color baby, it don't cross your mind that you like, why? What you doing with that baby? You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. You know, you just think, all right, you're trying to raise him so he can go ahead and make you some money later on. You know what I'm saying? That's just where I am. You but it, but overall, anyway, let me get off of that.
Right.
Let me get off of that.
You something else.
I'm just saying, man.
I mean, I can tell you in the past, you know, when, like, I would say back as far as the 90s. And,
yeah.
You know, as you know, as in the, when you get into adulthood and you see kids, you know, you wonder, you say, okay, well, here's a melanated baby, like you said, with a non-melanated family. And sometimes you wonder, you know, especially back then, you can obviously see if the kid is not mixed or half. And you just wonder, well, you know, how'd that kid end up with that family? And this is before you know, I knew anything. This is when I was young, before I even knew anything about, you know, adoption. It's like, and then, you know, you come to find, okay, well, they're adopting the kid. And so you have to understand that our kids are the highest number when it comes to being in a, I guess, to whether or not with their parents. And so our numbers are higher than any other race of people, especially in this country. And we do know that that stuff is by design. That's not just, we know what's going on. We know that's a systematic
right.
setup because drugs has really ran rampant in our communities, which has caused that to happen. You know, both parents on drugs, you know, lack of equal opportunity rights or equal opportunity situations, that's caused that. And so we definitely, I understand what you're saying. I definitely get what you're saying. It makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I guess you kind of put a little spin on when you say, you know, well, are they trying to make money off of this kid, you know? It's a thought, you know. It makes you think, it makes you wonder, was is that an intent? Hopefully that's not an intent, but, you know, you just never
Hopefully
know.
Hopefully not.
You know, right. But it's definitely not something that's far-fetched. I would say that it's not like it's not something that doesn't happen or could happen. And I guess what makes you wonder is because I guess remember that movie, it was a movie some years ago about this player who played at Ole Miss. I don't know if you remember that movie.
Yeah.
He's an athlete.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they ended up. Yeah, the family ended up with that kid. And there's some things about that, but I don't want to really get into that. I can't think of it either. But he was brilliant. He ended up going to the NFL. And I know there were some people at the time that was, when I at work, you know, some people were talking about that same thing that you said. So it's actually not a far-fetched thought. It's not like it's way out in left field because – there were some people who worked with us to say, you know, hey, I just feel like, well, they did that because they saw money coming. You just never know. You know, a lot of times when – and I will tell you this now. This is real. This is true. When people smell money, oh, yeah, they're going to support. I'm serious. Hey, that's real.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. When people smell money, hey, they on board. Anything that they could do to put their hat in the ring and say, hey, yeah, remember me? And so that's a real thing.
Yeah.
That's you know, I've known professional athletes, and they've acknowledged, you know, family members to, you know, and people to do that. When people smell money, not only just their family member, but people that they associate with. You know, when people, you know, when something, you know, to that regards, yeah. So, yeah, you're just not,
mm-hmm.
but you're not, basically what I'm saying is in that regards, you're not far-fetched, but yeah, that's kind of puts a little spin on things, kind of makes you kind of think a little bit.
Make you say, hey, it makes you say, You remember that back in the day? You know what I'm saying?
My boy
Arsenio Hall used to put that index thing on that chin and say, make you say, you know. I'm just saying, just some things to think about. I mean, like I said, I could be wrong. Then two left shoes. But however, you know, you have thought about it too is all I'm saying. You know, because it just don't fit the puzzle. You know, because we already know we live in a a racially divided country. And, you know, and on top of that, you know, by you being a really dark-skinned baby, you know, like, you know, I was explaining to a friend of mine about, you know, racism within the black culture, light skin versus dark skin, that you already know that, Tim, you are, and we talked about this before, that, you know, that I used to get better treatment because I was lighter than you, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
So I can't understand why you would go get, you know, in the words of my homeboy from Light, the movie, chocolatey baby.
Colorism is real.
I was just saying.
We laugh at, but colorism is real.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, colorism is real in our community and outside of our community. It's very real.
It's very real, man. And so it just make you say, this is just all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, overall, man, I see this constantly, you know what I'm saying, when I'm out, you know, in the Metroplex, I always see grandmama. You know, these grandmamas look like they can be kin to the bushes. You know what I'm saying?
He's something else.
And
he's something else.
and the kid is darker than me, is all I'm saying. You know, but however, you know, you just never know. I mean, you know, they could really have a good heart and say, you know what? You know, little Nuck Nuck had a hard life. And I want to go ahead and show him that there's a better life than what he has been experiencing.
If that's the intent. Yeah. I always have a good heart and a good intent. Yeah, I'm for it if there's a good intent.
Yeah. But if you're looking at him like, whoo, yeah, we're going to put some muscle on you, and you're going to go out there and make us some money, that's wrong. To think like that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm just saying. I'm not hating.
Right.
I'm just saying. You know, but
nah,
funny.
I got it.
But
so
again, guys. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna put that email out there one more time for everybody. If you have a question about what me and the overseer is talking about, or you just want to chime in on what we're talking about, you can email me at Big Tate, that's BIGTATE 93@gmail.com. You know what I'm saying? So definitely go ahead and let us know what you're thinking. You know, if we wilding out too much or what. But we just, you know, like I said, it's just Freestyle Fridays, and you know, we just bring the real issue to you, what's going on with a spin of comedy on it also, you know what I'm saying? But back to what we're talking about, man, you know, TJ, just all seriousness, it's, you know, it's heartbroken when we have to look at our nation for what it is, you know what I'm saying? For what it actually is when we pull the layers back from the onion.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? The analogy of that is, you know, when you're pulling when you actually scapping the onion, pulling the layers back, you know what I'm saying? You have to get to whatever the real issues are. And we have them, you know? And so we just have to, you know, do our best just to do what we can to help people, you know, along the way, man, is what I'm going to just say about that.
Exactly.
But go ahead, TJ. What else you got?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I just want to just touch base back on, like, the kneeling, like, I remember when Colin Kaepernick made it very popular. When he played football. And you know what's a shame? I thought about him. I guess I thought about when you had mentioned, you know, you want to discuss kneeling. He ain't played in the NFL since then, which is sad. You know, all the talent that he had, because a lot of people – wanted to try to run him in the ground. He has a lot of talent. He was very talented. I remember when he played with Nevada, just some of his highlights. Highly talented athlete. And I think his something like was this, within his first three seasons, he actually took them to the Super Bowl, which is funny because, you know, the 49ers at that time hadn't been to the Super Bowl in, man, many years. And what was funny about it, in what you were talking about, how people don't get it, it was strange how the people in the military understood it. I'm talking about of all races, creeds, and color understood why he kneeled, because there were, and this is what I'm saying, there's a divide in our country. There's a divide within the melanated community and a divide within the non-melanated community. And there's a divide because you have some of our people who disagree with it. You have some of their people who disagree with it. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, this is nuts. This is, you know, this doesn't make any sense. You know, the reason that they're kneeling, and a lot of people want to say, well, they shouldn't have been kneeling. Their job is to play football. Well, you have to understand, their job is not like your job. If you go to your job and you do something against your company policy, well, yeah, obviously you're going to get fired on the spot. These are entertainers. This is really what sports is. People think they are entertainers. You pay lots of money. You pay that $100 ticket to go watch these guys play. That's entertainment for you. Okay? That's what it is. It's entertainment. These are entertainers. So you're paying to see these guys. These guys are not getting paid what you're getting paid. Most people are making anywhere from $20,000 maybe to $1 million a year, if that. These guys are getting paid millions of dollars a year, the high-end athletes, to entertain you. So they have a lot more pull on their jobs than you do. They can kneel. They can protest. They can go into the office and say, hey, I want more money. You can't go into the office or your job and say, hey, I want more money. You're probably not going to be there very long. So there's a difference between, you know, when you say, when you know, your job and their job. So, yeah, they can. They're using that platform to voice how they feel. Athletes have always done that. They've done it back, you know, during the Olympics. I think it was believed back during the 60s when those athletes, when they threw up I think it was, what was it called? I don't know if it was Black Power. I don't know what their fist was. You know, they put the fist up and there like that. So it's not an uncommon thing for our athletes to speak out. Muhammad Ali, he spoke out. You know, it's a common thing when there's injustice. See, one thing you can't do, you can't say, dictate just because I make a certain amount of money that I should just be quiet.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Exactly.
You know, I'm impacted by this because that could have been my family member. And this is what the athletes are saying. We are getting tired of this happening to people who look like us, people who are us, not just look, they are us. Because, you know, I've had athletes to tell me, you know, back in the day, just tell me, hey, you know what, I got stopped. This guy asked me for my autograph. You know, it's funny. They get different treatment, right?
Yeah.
But I don't get that type of treatment. But a lot of them say, if I wasn't an athlete, I wouldn't have got a pass. I wouldn't have got, hey, let me get your autograph for me and my son or for my kids, you know, for whatever. You know, but like they say, I am no different than the person that you stop and that something bad happens to them. And that's true. The purpose of the kneeling was to say, hey, this is injustice. And it's a funny thing because I remember when I played football back in the day, you know, let me clarify, I didn't play pro football. Let's get that clarification. You know, sometimes people think you said you probably played pro football. Okay?
They'd be like, oh, we're playing professional football.
Man, let's clarify that right now. But no, but I remember even when I was in school, I didn't even put my hand on my heart over the national anthem. I just never did. I never did that. After I didn't have to do the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, after I'm again, I never did. I just didn't do it because I already knew. Again,
I didn't either.
Our parents taught us, exactly. Our parents taught us what this stuff meant. So I knew a long time ago back then what it meant. And it's not about disrespect. It's about what it stood for. If it stands for hatred and murder, and let's just be real about it. This is what this country was established off of, was the back of slaves. 400 years of free labor. 400 years of free labor. And that's not including all the heinous things that happened to our ancestors. This is what this is about. And you're continuing the injustices today. That's what it's about. That's why people are speaking out. That's why we're upset. So it has nothing about to do with disrespect. You want to talk about disrespect, we won't even get into that. That's a long list when you want to compare what disrespect is. That's a long list. And so that's what it's about when we say, no, this is injustice. I'm not going to honor the, not going to say nothing about the Pledge of Allegiance or what I mean. I'm not going to recite it and put my hand over my heart. That's not for me because this country, it wasn't really intended for us to, for our sisters to be free. But
and you better believe it.
Yeah, in order for this country to reach where it's at now, they had to release us. They had to let them go. It was a political move. They was not going to ever reach certain. Then you understand other countries, other nations were looking down on them at the time, saying, "Well, how can you try to police us? But look how you're mistreating the people that's in your country." And so there's a lot.
Exactly.
There's a lot that's in that. And so a lot of people think, "Oh, well, we don't want to honor this country, this flag." Hey, our ancestors built this country. This country would not be what it is today. You know, people want to brag about the inventions and the things that's going on there. Hey, our people are still creating and inventing amazing things. There are so much that our people have done for this country. This country would not be what it is without our ancestors. So that's how you bag people down. Man, I bagged down so many people with that stuff, and that's why I don't really get on social media because I'm just an old school person. Hey, I deal with people face-to-face. I don't like to because, you know, people are what they call cyber bullies and cyber
gangsters.
You know, people are tough behind keyboards. I don't get into that, you know, and I'm not no confrontational type person, but I don't like for people to be in the vicinity of me and say disrespectful things and think they can just get away with it. That's not, hey, you know what, this is not what that's about. You know, people try to say things and try to, you know, try to get by. No, I'm not the one for that. Like I tell people, I'm not the one, the two, or the three. We're not playing that game. And so you can't do that.
Yes, sir.
You know, if you're gonna speak something, let's do it right. You know, let's do it right. Let's get down to what it really is. And see, when you start pulling out all these things and say, hey, this is what it is. When you start talking about how they used to feed little black babies to crocodiles and stuff like that, that's what it is. We talk about, you know, there's so much stuff I can get into. And so what I'm saying to you is that, you know, that's what this is about. People want to make light. And I tell our kids, don't forget where you come from, because my mom and dad used to always tell us, if you forget where you come from, you're bound to repeat your history. And we definitely don't want to repeat that. I don't want my kids or grandkids to have to ever deal with anything that our great-grandparents had to go through. And so, you know, but we kind of see that now. It's like, what do? We going back to what it was? Martin Luther King Jr.'s son was saying something other day. They was interviewing him about what happened. Mm. And he was saying that, you know, this is not what his dad envisioned, you know. This is not what his dad wanted. He said the same thing. He said, it seemed like we're going backwards. We don't want to go backwards. This is not the intent.
Right.
We're supposed to move forward. But it's like the athletes say, you enjoy us and want our autographs and everything. I mean, I remember athletes saying that, but, you know, but you're quick to run up in our face and get an autograph, but then you want to disrespect our people. That's not cool, and it's not cool. Nobody wants
that.
You know, nobody knows how they really feel. If you really want to know how they really feel, nobody wants to deal with that. You know, and exactly what saying, they say, you know, they always want autographs. And that's cool. We understand that comes with the territory. That comes with them being famous and everything and being well known and being athletes, but they just want our people to be treated. We should be treated equal. It's just all there is to it. It just amazes me that here in 2020, here we are having these types of conversations. Here we are looking at protests and people, you know, what they call it, looting or whatever. All this stuff has happened. It just amazes me. And I think I was just so amazed what happened with Philando Castile with a baby in the car. I'm just like, you know, it's just like this one police officer said. This police officer even said it himself. There needs to be an evaluation for who they hire to come into these police stations. It does. They need to evaluate these people. How can you fire a firearm with a child in the back of the car? Your life was not in danger that you fired a firearm with a baby in the car? These types of things, we have to sit here and not look past this and be passive and say, oh, well, this is okay. That's not okay. That's a child.
That's right.
You know, it's just so much that, like you say, you know, I don't like to talk about it. That's why I don't watch none of those videos. You know, I hear people saying it. I see a still frame picture of it, but I can't watch those videos. It's just too much. And so hopefully our nation is getting better. Hopefully it will get better. You know, hopefully this will mean something. I don't want the people to stop protesting. This doesn't need to go to sleep. You know, Exactly. And that's why people are constantly protesting, because they're waiting to see what they're going to do. I mean, you know, you can't make light of this situation. You know, you just can't. It's not a light situation. People want to sit there and talk about this guy, talk about he's no saint. You know, you see so much silly stuff on social media. It's not about whether he was a saint or not. This was a life. This was a human being. And people don't value the importance of life. If people look spiritually into this thing and see what it takes to create a life, what the mother goes through to carry that child for 9 months, we're not talking about what people – we all make mistakes. I'm not here to judge that man. It's not my job. It's not nobody's job to judge someone. We need to get off
right.
If he did wrong, that's what your justice system is for. Take him through the process. Arrest him. Take him to jail. Let the rest of the people do their job. Okay, if that's what you're supposed to do, you know, like my brother used to say back in the day, we shouldn't be judge, jury, and executioner. We just shouldn't be that. You know, it shouldn't happen all
right.
Like that. You know, let it go through the process. There are other people hired to take care of that, and that's all I'm saying. And we need to stop being so passive and understand how people feel. You know, that's just all it is to it. We have to respect how we as a people feel and stop saying, oh, well, we're just complaining because it's not happening to your people. Now, if the shoes was on the other foot, I guarantee you, you know, it'd be some, like you said back there, it'd be some smoke in the city, right?
Yeah. It's going to be some smoke in the city. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, Tim, I mean, you raise a lot of great points, man. And just to piggyback off of everything you were saying, you know, for one, let me read something to you. You know what I'm saying? This is the reason why I personally, before I start talking about the kneeling, you know, first of all, a lot of people don't even understand that the home of the brave is not the end of that song.
Right.
It's not the end.
It was actually changed. Yeah, they actually changed some things.
Home of the brave, boo. That's all I can say. That is not the end of that song. If you go pull up the lyrics of that song, it has a verse in there that says, no refuge could save a hireling and a say, I mean, I'm sorry, I have the retainers in my mouth, so I can't really talk. But anyway, it says, no refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph both ways. Come on, man. For those reasons right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you already let me know. Right then, you're not singing to me.
Right, it needs to be changed. It needs to be changed.
But you know, yeah. But it says why I say, but but this is the reason why part of the kneeling come in place, and the reason why it's so profound, because you know this man says, you know what, there's a problem in this country, and everybody in America watches Sunday night or Sunday day or Sunday afternoon football. If I start kneeling,
definitely.
Now mind you, he started sitting down.
Yeah.
But he talked to, you know, people in the military.
Right.
And so he could understand what they were saying. So he said, okay, well, I at least kneel. I would do that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he justified it. He cleaned it up. He tried to compromise. You know what I'm saying? But
he got
penalized. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
He got a lot of pushback.
Oh, yeah.
Then on top of that, they, you know, they didn't bring him back for the 2017 year. You know what I'm saying?
Season.
The season, yeah. Then on top of that, others started, you know, following his footsteps. You know what I'm saying? So now people like, I can't believe that you're disrespecting our flag. Well, guess what? That goes right into the Mr. Drew Brees that I want to discuss. You know what I'm saying? Drew Brees stuck his foot in his mouth. You know?
Right.
During his whole protesting, he said, I stand firm on what I believe, that I don't honor a man that don't need, I mean, that don't stand for the anthem. What? So that lets you know, he see all of this that's happening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But guess
he knew what he was saying.
Exactly. It's the, but guess what? It's these black faces that is supporting your behind with the Saints. You know what I'm saying? We packing out those seats so you can get paid coming to see you. But you just told all of us, I don't care nothing about you. You know what I'm saying? Hey,
right.
It's about this country. But what he failed to realize that our ancestors went over and fought, you know, World War One and Two. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Next to their father, his grandfathers. You know what
right.
I'm saying? But guess what? When our people came back to this country, you know what I'm saying? They got persecuted for wearing their medals. They didn't get medals. And if they did wear them, you know what I'm saying? They got hung. You can go look this stuff up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
They were disgraced. You know what I'm saying? Told to take off their army suit, you know? But yet, they put in what your granddaddy put in. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Sweat, grit, you know,
right.
the whole nine. To definitely fight for the country, the freedom that we have today. But
right.
the difference is your granddaddy came back, he was a war hero. My granddaddy came back, he was a drunk and a bum. That's the difference. Because he didn't get the same shake that your granddaddy got. You know what I'm saying? So we have to fight for everything.
Right.
You know, the guys that fought in Tuskegee, airmen, that was half of them got injected with the syphilis virus. The other half went to fight. What's justice about that? You know what I'm saying? So
right.
you mean to tell me I need to put my hand over my heart for this country? The devil's
You're
a
right.
lie.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? You have beat my people down, you know, made them feel less than a person. And then on top of that, Tim, you spoke on, we built this country, and we did. The White House
oh,
that
yeah.
you chilling
Definitely.
In was from our African ancestors, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? But not only that, you know, we wouldn't, man, I look at that we created lights. We didn't create the fuse to cut it off and on, but we created the light. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Stoplights, refrigerators. You know what I'm saying? I can keep going.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know?
a lot of things.
We can visit the peanut, and you can understand
yeah,
what you
oh,
get out
man.
Of the peanut. All the different types of. Come on, man. We came
yeah,
up
that,
with the
that,
assembly line. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying? We wouldn't have no
yep,
assembly line if we didn't. So, like you said, don't come for me. Don't come for me.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but the thing about it is, man, we have earned our just due to be in this country. We didn't ask
Definitely.
To be over here.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Your posse rounded us up. You know what I'm saying? Shoot, they ambushed us. You know what I'm saying? So other slaves sold us off, and we came in through Carolinas. Came in through Alabama, came in through I want to say New York if I'm not correct. I mean if I'm correct, you know what I'm saying. So all these borders we didn't came through, not willingly. We didn't ask to jump on this ship, but since you brought us, we did contribute. Is all I'm saying.
Contribute, man. We didn't contribute.
That's
you know,
all
we...
I'm saying.
Man,
we contribute.
We did more than contribute, man. Please.
Yeah.
contribute the word. Yeah, that's gonna be a topic for another day. But I mean, you're right. I mean, I totally agree with you. But you know, in the weeks to come, we're definitely gonna be talking about. You know, I want to talk about inventions. It's funny that you brought that up. We're gonna discuss inventions. You know, our ancestors and how they invented a lot of things, not just from this time, but back in ancient times. And how a lot of things that our ancestors built wasn't given the just due. Even today, they're still not just due on a lot of things that our ancestors have done. Next week we're going to be talking about the African diaspora. You know how people feel about moving to Africa. How some people say no, I'm cool here in America. America's my home. My ancestors built this place, so I'm chilling. You know, I'm good. You know, if they like fried chicken and pecan pie, and they said,
fried chicken and watermelon.
Yeah, fried chicken and watermelon. Ain't going no. Hey, I got watermelon in Africa. but we're gonna be talking about that in weeks to come. Yes, sir.
Real talk. In Africa, watermelon is a main fruit because that's how they pretty much stay hydrated, by eating watermelon. I found that out through the Wakanda series. You know what I'm saying? I said, I was like, okay. The white people did get that point right. You know what I'm saying about the watermelon? You know what I'm saying? That's a true thing.
I think a lot of stereotypes are just what they are. They're stereotypes. I mean, I see non-melanated people eat more chicken than we eat. That's funny. They eat more watermelon than we eat. So that's just a stereotype, man. So many stereotypes.
And green.
You know,
green soup, boy. Greens and cornbread.
I don't know, but I like greens.
I see white people eating greens and cornbread.
I don't think nobody like greens more than me. I love greens.
Turnip greens, collard greens, mustard greens, which one? All of them?
Collard greens.
Thought you were going to say chronic greens.
The what? No.
We were talking about that. I thought about your boy Mike Epps. I had to throw that in there. You know, Mike Epps said, "Get out of my collard green, my mustard green, my chronic greens." With what's that movie with was it just Friday After Next? I think it was Friday After Next that he did that. But when we were talking about that, he just came up when he said
it. It's been a long time.
But anyway. Yeah, it's been a long time since you've seen that movie.
Definitely want to announce before we get ready to get out here, Big Tate Entertainment, Tim the Overseer, we're on Freestyle Fridays. We'll be back next Friday that's going to be 11 p.m. I think I gave the wrong time earlier. But on Freestyle Fridays, we're here at 10 p.m. I say 11 p.m. We're here on 10 p.m. East Coast time, 10 p.m. 9 p.m. Look at me mess it up. Let me start over. We're here on Friday nights. We're here. I have to start our time. I know what time we start. We're here at 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. East Coast Time, and 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Fridays. And that's our Freestyle Fridays. This is Tim the Overseer and Big Tate Entertainment. He just gave you his email address if you want to contact him. If you're interested in contacting me, it's Tim at spiritualsenselife.com. Again, that's Tim at spiritualsenselife.com. Next week we'll be back. We'll have another conversation. We're going to be talking about Africa, the continent. Africa is where all life begins. We're just going to be talking about the continent, all the great things that Africa has to offer from the past to present, and also what people think about Africa as far as is that a place to return to. I've been seeing a lot of that on social media where people are actually returning back to Africa. Some people now say, no, I'm good, I'm okay, America's my home, my ancestors, parents and grandparents died here, I'm good, this is home. Like I say, I like what they say, like fried chicken and purple drink or whatever it is that they got going on. But, yeah, we'll be definitely talking about that. We're also going to be talking about inventions. The great creators, talking about our ancestors, a lot of things that they contributed to mankind. We're going to be talking about that, and I'm quite sure Big Tate Entertainment has some topics that he wants to include. And so I just want to put that out there before we get ready to get out here. We're fixing to get out in about the next 5 or 7 more minutes. We're going to get ready to shut it down. I just want to turn over the big tape before I have the last word. So go ahead, brother. Did you have anything else you want to go ahead and throw in there real quick?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to just say, you know, through all the jokes or whatnot in between, whatever, but really take the message, digest it, you know what I'm saying, nurture your body, your soul with it, and search for the truth, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So basically, you know, we're all God's people. We're just the chosen ones, you know what I'm saying? And, I mean, that's not me saying it. It's just what it is. You know, but the thing about it is that, you know, going through it, just life experiences, you have to understand, man, when it comes to equality, how do you handle it? Do you lash back out, or do you, you know, show a different face? You know what I'm saying? But I have always been taught is that, you know, you don't lash back out, because I told you, like I told you last week, when you ride off emotions land you in nothing but trouble. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you have to take everything with a grain of salt, you know what I'm saying, process it, and see how you can actually spin it, but where it works in your favor. You know what I'm saying? Again, you can reach me at Big Tate Entertainment. No, I'm sorry. Big Tate, that's BIGTATE 93 @gmail.com. If you have any suggestions that you would like me and the overseer to talk about or address, you know, please email me. You know what I'm saying? We'd like to hear back from you. But again, I'm signing off. It was a pleasure. And I'll holler at you next Friday.
All right. That brother says he's signing off. Well, brother, hold on here. We got a few more minutes before you sign off with that.
Oh, well, no. I was just saying, you know, that was my last thing to say. So that's why I was,
Okay, cool. No, okay, well, it's all good. All right, well, if that's the last word from you, brother, I think you're ready to close it out, I guess. So I just want to make sure that we know that we'll be on the air tomorrow. Well, I'll be on the air tomorrow night. That Spiritual Sense Life, I'll be on the air tomorrow night again, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. East Coast Time, and that's going to be 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Spiritual Sense Life. We're going to be doing a review on Revelation, the first chapter. Last week, I taught on Revelation, the first chapter. So you definitely don't want to miss out. Make sure that you tune in so you can learn about the things to come and how it's affecting us in today's world. I'm going to do a review on chapter 1. And then next week, the following Saturday, then we'll go into Revelation chapter 2, which is going to be very interesting because we'll just get into some things dealing with the church. We're going to be on the air again tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. These times, though, I know times, they kind of confuse me a little bit. I'm going to be on the air at 6 p.m. tomorrow night, Central Standard Time, 7 East Coast, again, 4 Pacific Standard Time. Well, brother, with that being said, what we're going to be talking about next week, we're going to be talking about Africa, the continent, from this past history all the way up to current. And we're just going to be discussing, just be freestyling about Africa, about how people feel about it. Again, like Big Tate said, if you have any questions, concerns, anything that you want to discuss, just any questions, definitely email us and we'll respond and let you know. You know, we'll discuss it if you want to discuss something, a specific subject. Or if you have any questions for us, we'll definitely be more happy to answer it. All right, brother. Well, that's all I got. Well, hopefully, you know, the message, you know, came through tonight that we just want people to not take this situation lightly, especially us as a people. This is a serious thing that's happening in the world today, that people are protesting and marching. And as we can see, it's very serious. If you have people all over the planet, I can't remember a time since I've been alive that people have responded like this all over the planet. And so this is something that's very serious, and hopefully people who are in authority around the country, around the world, hopefully they'll listen and they'll watch and they'll learn something and say, hey, we got to do something different. And that, you know, the mistreatment of our people in this manner doesn't continue. We all know about the Bible and the Word and things of that nature. We know about the woes to come and the tribulations to come. But We just hope that it gets better. That's all I can say, because I know we all have family and loved ones out here, and we just want the best for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like. We just want everybody to be all treated the same, treated equally on the same plane. I know it's the same thing Big Tate was just basically saying. And so tonight, again, hopefully you all were blessed. Your brother, if you ain't got nothing else, I'm out. This is Tim the Overseer with my co-host Big Tate Entertainment. If nothing more, you all be blessed. Have a wonderful weekend. You guys stay safe. Keep your face covered up. You know, make sure you stay clean. You know, keep your distances from everyone. And make sure you stay at home as much as possible to kind of, you know, help deter this thing that's going on in the world. Make sure we're also praying for everyone that's affected by this pandemic. I pray for those that have lost loved ones. Pray for the family that they be consoled. We pray spiritually that people receive salvation. Brother, you got anything else before I get ready to shut it down?
I just wanted to let everybody know that, you know, we have a lot of different, we have great content coming at you. And I know one thing that I want to discuss is that, you know, I know that a lot of African-Americans think that, you know, they have a lot of money. So a lot of this doesn't apply to them. So the topic that I want to discuss is that it doesn't matter how much money you got, you are still black. You know what I'm saying? So that would be a topic that, you know, that we're going to put in a rotation after we discuss all what, you know, Overseer told you we're going to do. But, you know, until then, we're going to holler.
All right. All right, then. Well, good night. We love you all. Bless everyone's family. Bless the kingdom. I love each and every one of y'all. Be sure to tune in tomorrow night. Be blessed and have a good night.